I mean, it's very, very specific, like long-term relationship, friends with benefits, you know, love, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing that says, I want to have dinner with you, ghost you forever, and talk about you with my friends. That's not an option. The other one that's rough is that they have you describe the shape of your body, right? And very limited choices, thin, athletic, curvy. I need something that says it depends. Like, it depends on where we are going and who I'm standing next to, right? I mean, are we going to a yoga class? Or are we going to the Minnesota State Fair? Like, that changes things, you know what I mean? Because this can go from a 4 to 7 really quick. That's a tough one. There's no box for that.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM Minneapolis St. Paul, online and archived at KFAI.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Halusa Nation.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wuk. I cut a gate to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute, or use the acronym NACDI. They're on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Great partners in Native Roots Radio, and we have the CEO, Robert Lilligren, on every Thursday. Hey, speaking of every Thursday, every Friday we have State Senator Mary Kunish on, but we asked her if she could come on and speak to what happened this weekend. We're all sad here, and we really, really appreciate State Senator Mary Kunish coming on a few days early, and you'll have your normal slot on Friday, but I thought it'd be really important to touch base with you and check in on you and check on what's happened in our community. Welcome, State Senator.
Thank you, Wapulatanka. It's been a really hard couple of days, not just for myself, but for legislators in general, for elected officials, for our communities, our state, our nation. It's been tough.
Well, you know, we thought about you right away and reached out as soon as we heard on Saturday, and you were okay. So all this kind of transpired early in the morning Saturday, like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'm sure people reached out to you and you did precautions with your family. Can you talk us through that a little bit and what you heard right away?
Sure. It started in the wee hours of the morning. We were contacted by our leadership. I'm an assistant majority leader in the Minnesota Senate. And so our leader and administrators reached out to us to let us know something had happened. There weren't a lot of details, and we didn't know exactly everybody that was involved in the shootings. But just morning and to be alert. And we kind of did the phone tree to let others know the circumstances so that, you know, the two. And what we're talking about is Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette were shot by a gunman in the early hours of Saturday morning. And then he left there and went over to the Speaker Emeritus for our Minnesota House of Representatives. She and her husband were assassinated. Mm-hmm. We didn't know all the details, you know, at one point. We didn't know who was alive, who wasn't, but it looked like there was something going on targeting legislators. And so we wanted to be extra careful and let each other know what was going on. We all sat tight, listened for any updates, anything like that. And in a very short time, many of us were contacted by our local municipal police to check in on us to make sure we were okay, and let us know that they were monitoring the situation, but they were also monitoring our communities as well. And I, for one, want to thank the New Brighton police. They were very responsive and had a number of my house in a very surveillance around my house. But they also, you know, were counseled or suggested that if we had a safe place to go, maybe we wanted to leave our homes. And so I did. I left my home and I went to a safe spot. I really didn't want to get my neighbors involved in this. We just didn't know what or who we were dealing with. And it was just better that we weren't home. And so I did. I went somewhere safe and monitored and was kept up to date as best they could as time went on. And again, thank you to the New Brighton police who reached out, updated us, made sure we were okay. It was a most bizarre couple of days, I can tell you that.
Can't imagine.
And I were really flipping the coin about going to the Capitol that night too, because the governor, you know, for safety reasons, told us not to go to the march
the protest,
Capitol.
The No Kings protest at the Minnesota State Capitol. But we really felt like in the honor of the people who were hurt and killed, that we needed to, needed to be there.
Well, I'm glad there wasn't any retaliation to people that were counseled not to attend. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. But sure. Those of you that did go out there to show that solidarity, that was, you know, that was not lost on us, let's say that much.
Right on. And the timing was terrible because it was almost like they wanted us not to go, the assassin and the big plan that they had. So on the same day, we took notice that wasn't a coincidence, and we needed to follow through. Like 80,000 other Twin Cityans went to the Capitol, and all the other No Kings, I saw all over the state that people were there. And so it's just the beginning of this. I mean, this rhetoric that's happening nationally is really frightening. And now we're seeing big globs of action that's coming from just this negative stuff from Washington.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if, you know, I haven't paid attention to what the federal response is to any of this. I don't know if there is any. You know, Minnesota, almost all of our, three of our federal officials are, is it three or four, are Democrats. And of course, you know, I'm sure they're hearing things at the federal level, but I don't know if the president has said anything about this or if any of his, you know, Republican leadership or anybody has. I don't know that any of our Republican leadership here in Minnesota has said anything. To tell you the truth, I never thought of that.
Well, there's been some negative responses locally here that I don't want to get into the negativity because we hear it so much daily. I just want to like really check on with you and also your processing, because I know Wendy and I are peripheral involved with this by just supporters and how we feel right now. We really put out tobacco for you, Mary, and all our other political friends here.
No, I can't even tell you how many people. I mean, I'm pretty sure the day of Saturday, I sat and texted reply after reply after reply after reply after reply. I mean, all day yesterday and today, yesterday, Saturday, and today, people are still reaching out from all over the country. I mean, all even international people I know internationally have reached out to me with words of, you know, kind of horror of the situation, not wanting, you know, not asking what's going on, give us a buzz. It was like, I'm there for you. If you need anything, please let me know. Our prayers are with you. We're thinking of you. The thoughtfulness is just unbelievable.
Lovely.
Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, a little special edition of Monday at Native Roots Radio, and we're going to talk a little bit more. I know you're really busy, and but we appreciate you stopping in and letting our audience know, you know, just knowing how you're doing, and we really appreciate it. Hey, Wendy, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back.
Stay with us.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
I love that tagline. Hey, we're it's a special edition of Native Roots Radio right now, and we have State Senator Mary Kunish, who's usually on our Friday show, and she's been generous enough to come on and talk a little bit about what's happened this weekend, and also just talking maybe about the legacy of your colleague. And I really want to see how you're taking care of yourself. I know it's been a long session, a long, hard session, and kind of ending it with this has been really tough on you and everybody involved.
Yeah, it has been really very, very difficult. You know, luckily we have a really great caucus. Our Senate DFL caucus has been really supportive of each other. You know, we are all in a huge hurt, but we've been able to communication and dispelling, you know, inaccuracies, checking in on each other. It's been unifying in a lot of ways, but, you know, we all are hurting, hurting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I appreciate the work at those at the Capitol that are working to provide us with a kind of maybe mental health support. Should we reach out for it or need to talk to somebody about these things? This isn't something easy. It's not something we just have to kind of, you know, buckle up, you know, thing. These are real emotions. I mean, we almost lost one of our members, John Hoffman, and his wife. Mm-hmm. A really tough session to begin with right. The loss of our very, very special, beloved Carrie Dietzick, who passed away early in session. So, you know, it's still really raw for many of us. And then there are some of us that served in the Minnesota House with Melissa Hortman. When I was first elected to the Minnesota House, she was just elected as as our leader in the speaker in the House. And, you know, she was a great leader. I mean, really, people will say these things about, you know, people, but really and truly, she was a leader. She led and built such cohesiveness within her caucus. It was amazing. I remember soon after I was elected as a newbie, she asked me to join her for lunch, and we sat for about 2 hours and ate lunch together, and she asked me about what my priorities were, what I wanted to work on, how the caucus could support us. You know, when I came quickly to realize that our caucus and the legislature as a whole were woefully lacking in understanding the country.
Right.
And anything about, you know, tribal relations or what the struggles are were at that time. And I could go to her and her team, and, you know, we worked on making sure that Indian aid, American Indian education aid, was included. The Republicans, when they were in the majority, weren't going to include that in their budget, and we got them to do that. I brought up a lot of Native issues. Remember, it was in the House that I passed the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
And Melissa was a huge champion. And there were, you know, again, I was new.
Right.
I didn't know how things work. I don't know how to start a task force, right?
Right.
And going to Melissa and to her team for guidance, like, what do I do? How does this work? What, you know? And she's like, you're a legislator. You tell us what, you know, you tell them what you want. Like with them, I'm talking about governmental agencies and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She really championed and worked on our behalf to make sure that did get passed as well. So that was under her tenure. Her heart was with people the most. She was a lawyer, so she had a keen legal mind. She understood about how to set things up for success and how to set people up for success as well. Very, very fundamental in building women leadership. I don't know if you remember that that incident, Sorry, Not Sorry. Do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And it happened in the Minnesota House while she was, we were in the minority, and we were on the floor in the House, and there were like next to no Republicans, let alone Republican men, on the floor. And we were talking about the rights of American Indians and those that are struggling so heavily. And these guys were all in the back in the retiring room watching the Twins game.
Yeah.
And they should have been in their seats legislating and listening and learning. And she called them out very bravely. She called them out. And we just were in awe of her, the fact that she did that. And then the Republican leadership said, oh, she was so disrespectful and rude to us. She needs to apologize. And I remember her coming to us and saying, you guys, should I? Was I in the wrong? Was I inappropriate? And we're like, hell no.
Yeah.
And so she came back out and she said, nope, sorry, not sorry. I'm not apologizing. And I think that was a really defining moment for her. And the fact that she had her, she knew that the caucus had her back on these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And she just built out her leadership from there. And it's been really incredible. And I'm so proud to have worked with her, worked alongside her, been mentored by her, and to see what she actually grew into and the kind of It wasn't power. It was really cohesion and helping people understand how important it was that the caucus stick together on these really important issues. And we all saw her crying when she explained why she had to vote yes on a bill to withdraw health care for undocumented Minnesotans. Yeah. And I mean, that was raw. She was in pain, as were many of us. But she did it to ensure that the other bills got passed, that we were able to balance our budget, and that we did our job. And that was a huge personal, emotional, and professional concession from her. Mm. And we owe her a depth of thanks that we can never, never repay.
Wow. What a great tribute.
What a legacy, really, that she left, you know, and it's just horrifying. Yeah. That this took place. It's just horrifying. I blame one person for this. One person.
Yeah.
I don't even have to.
We don't even have to say
their name.
I know State Senator's stopping in here on her off day with Native Roots Radio. I just want to ask you what you're doing and your colleagues are doing for your own mental health. Because, again, I kind of started the whole show going, Wendy and I were crushed and we're more peripheral about all this. You know, of course, we've met all these great politicians that work for the people, but you were close to them and worked with them every day. And, and also just the trauma of possibly somebody coming to your house. If you think through the whole story, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I got up and I went to all my windows and doors and didn't even want to peek out, you know, But, I think a lot of us, turn to our families. I know I turned to my family. My children were horrified. My family, you know, I come from this large family. Right. There was so much outreach, and let us know what we can do to help you. If you need another place to go, if you need a safe place, come here, or I know somewhere that you can go. So I think a lot of us reached out to our, recognize the need and the care for each and every one of us. And as I said, they are setting up some mental health opportunities for us at the Senate. I know for me, last night we got together for a Father's Day gathering, and just for a little while, you could almost sort of forget. But I'm happy to say that there are many support systems out there for us. And I know that there are a bajillion people I can reach out to if I need it. So I just want to say Wopi Latonka to all of them, all of you that have reached out to me, and please do so and say your prayers.
Thank you so, so much. And I know this is just so sudden afterwards, and I really appreciate you talking to our listeners like this and letting them know that you're okay. And then also a great tribute that you just had. I really appreciate you and coming on today, especially.
Thank you so much,
Senator Mary.
Hey.
Tune into the Wave Project Sunday morning at 10 for a sonic celebration of the legendary Todd Rundgren, the genre-bending musician, composer, producer, and collaborator, who's truly a wizard, a true star. Rundgren's career spans decades of innovation and reinvention. We'll honor his birthday by diving into his rich catalog, not just as a solo artist or band leader, but as a creative force behind hits for Hall & Oates, Patti Smith, Ecstasy, Meatloaf, Grand Funk Railroad, and other notables. Take a trip with us on the road to Utopia as we explore Todd's legacy. The Wave Project, Sunday morning, June 22nd, 10 a.m. on KFAI.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this show is brought to you by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. I love that tagline. Hey, we're here with Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center and our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, the CEO. And Ruth, I don't know, you're an old pro at being on the radio and with Native Roots Radio. Do you want to take it from here and introduce our guest?
Sure. Yeah. So thank you, Robert. We have a couple of our staff from MIWRC joining us tonight. We have Ellison and Deetra, and we're so thankful that they agreed to come on and share a few words about the good work that they do at MIWRC. And yeah, we just celebrated our 40th anniversary last September. We use a comprehensive approach in serving the community, individuals, and families. And so if Deetra's ready, maybe we can, or whoever would like to start, Deetra or Ellison. Welcome, ladies.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Deetra. Good to see you.
You too. Ellison, you want me to go first? Or?
Sure.
Well, I have the privilege of working in the drop-in center here at MIWRC. We are basically the first point of contact for our client relatives. So we get to see them in rare form, coming just straight in from the streets, or some have homes, some don't. And we provide basic needs services, food, showers, clothing, resources. Our main objective is to provide a safe space for them so that they feel very welcome when they come. We're growing so much every day. We're getting more and more client relatives who are feeling very comfortable and opening up more, and we're building really great relationships with our client relatives, which I think is very important, is building those relationships so that they are comfortable, so they can, you know, let us know like what's going on in their world, so we are able to help them or guide them in the right direction in terms of, did I cut off? Oh, I'm still on. Okay. But yeah, the part I love the most is building those relationships with our client relatives so that they are comfortable. I know a lot of them don't trust very many people. So knowing that they can come here and open up and, you know, have this space available to them is super important to me, and it's something that I enjoy the most, is building those relationships and being able to provide the services that we do provide for them. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Ruth, Anna, how long have you been with Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Myself or me?
No, I'm sorry, Deetra.
I think it'll be a year, coming up on a year. Mm-hmm. A year.
Very
yes.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, Ruth Ann, take it away there to introduce some of more of your, this is awesome. I feel a lot of heart coming through, the airwaves here.
For sure. Yes. Thank you, Deetra. We're so, so thankful to have Deetra on board. She's got a lot of expertise, experience, and knowledge. And so we're just super thankful to have her on board. Like you mentioned, she's got a huge heart and really has a nurturing presence with all of our client relatives. Next we have Ellison. Ellison started out, you know, with MIWRC through helping through the Emergency Warming Center. We noticed right away her leadership skills and qualities, and so we were able to bring her on to help us. And she's an all-round, just like Deetra, you know, and all of our staff, you know, wear many hats, are all, you know, pretty much cross-trained. And so Ellison also has a wealth of information and experience and outstanding, amazing community member. So I'll turn it over to Ellison.
Hey, everyone. So I'm Ellison. I'm going to start off by like telling you guys a little bit about myself and where I'm from. I am Hung Papa Lakota from Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. My spirit name is Wombly Wen, Golden Eagle Woman. Like Ruth was saying, I came on like as a contractor. So I was like, it was like a learning experience in different areas of like MIWRC. So I got to work in like the drop-in center. I'm gaining experience as a receptionist, gaining experience in like just all different areas. And it's been an amazing journey for me because like I've a lot of the things that I'm like learning, you know, Ruth had like opened doors for me to be able to like gain these experiences. But as coming on as a contractor, I started off as like being like MIWRC, like being a big help, like all over all different areas of MIWRC. And right now I'm like mainly up at the front desk, like helping anyone that comes in, giving anybody a comfortable space to come into our doors. On Tuesdays or Monday through Friday, we do a breakfast program for our client relatives. So they come in, they can eat, they can just hang out. And a lot of them keep coming back, you know, because they feel safe here. They like being here. And being able to like Dietra was saying, being able to build those relationships with them, you know, it keeps them coming back. That way they're like, they feel safe here. And that's a good thing for MIWRC to be able to open up the doors for the relatives and our unsheltered.
Yeah, that's amazing, Ruth Anna. What a team. And, you have to have a certain person to be leading this, and then also certain people to be boots on the ground, Ruth Anna.
Yeah, for sure. We have an amazing team, and you know, it's just always something new every day, a new experience, you know. But it's good. I mean, it's a lot of healing you can feel taking place, you know, through struggles or through hardships. You know, it's just like Ellison and Dietra mentioned, it's a pretty welcoming space, and that's the goal, is that everybody feels loved and feels better than they did when they walk out the MIWRC doors, you know, after an appointment or a visit. We hope that they feel better than they did when they first entered the building.
So I see so many great services and even a lot of fun things to do, Ruth Anna. Maybe you can ask these guys, are they able to participate too? Because I was down there for your anniversary, and at the same time there was a drawing going on, and I would go, wow, this looks fun.
Yes, for sure. When I first came on board too, we had ribbon skirt making, and the staff got to also, you know, participate if there were, you know, if it was appropriate. And so, yeah, for sure, we want to make sure that we're taking care of our staff as well, and that our staff are having fun and healing along with the client relatives. So, yeah, I was thinking of just hearing you speak and say that just now too. It reminded me of PCL construction workers come out during an intertribal song during the open house, you know, and that was pretty cool to see. You know? Cool. So the cakewalks, or even just, you know, a lot of our staff are super talented. I would say all of our staff are amazing and have different talents, and we have some that like to dance, and we have, you know, we just try to have fun every chance we get, and have some humor and laughter and enjoy food as well.
Oh, excellent. Hey, let's take a quick break here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we've got Ruth Anna Buffalo and her crew from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center on. Let's take a quick break.
Stay with us.
Nation.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. And we are here with Ruth Anna Buffalo and her crew from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And Ruth Ann, this is just, I can feel their heart through these airwaves. And I really appreciate you bringing these guys on. Let's talk some more about what they do, Ruth Anna.
Yeah, so in the drop-in center, like Dietra mentioned, you know, they're one of the first points of contact for a lot of our relatives who come in who are unsheltered or unhoused. And so the work that they do is so critically important because it helps, relatives feel safe and welcomed and they get our client relatives connected to resources. You know, like Allison mentioned, we have today's Tuesday, so we had our weekly resource connect from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. where breakfast and lunch is provided, and we have service providers on site. You know, Hennepin County Streets to Housing, MinOB Behavioral Health, Targeted Case Managers, and Avivo Village was there today. And then also LEAD was on site, Sobriety Warriors. It's a community effort, and we're, you know, providing a space for people to come together and help the relatives get connected to resources. We're just trying to do the best we can within our reach because we all have a responsibility to help our relatives live, you know, and live longer.
That's awesome. And Dietra, I was there for the 40th anniversary open house, and I saw you there, and it was amazing how many community people showed up for that. That was beautiful.
Yeah, I was in awe too, and it's also amazing to make those connections. It's like the community coming together like that and connecting with each of the organizations is so important. There are times when I may not have a resource and I could just pick up the phone and call, or now some of them, they come here now and make those connections so that they don't have to wait or they're being shoveled around to this place, to that place. Some of our client relatives don't have communication, like cell phones and computers. Being able to make those connections like that is so amazing. And it's like right there, you know, so they don't have to go very far. And that helps us out too. And we're not playing phone tag or email tag. And then we, you know, it kind of gets tiring to them, and then they lose hope. And that's the one thing that we don't want to happen is for our client relatives to lose hope, because we're fighting the fight with them, you know. Those resources and connections are very key to potential success in helping our client relatives get to that next stage in their life. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Allison, you've been around for a year. You've gone through the bad part of the winter and our unsheltered relatives showing up, and that must really be hard to see, but also really good on the heart that you're able to help.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I should mention this, but I have like a lot of experience with like our unsheltered, let alone with them like going through their struggle they're going through, because I'm also in recovery too. July 18th will be my 2 years being in recovery. It's easier for like, so like a lot of the people, a lot of like people outside of our work, like a lot of them don't understand, you know, so like for them to come to MIWRC and feel safe here, because like they, and with me being here in our drop-in, our all of our coworkers, you know, we, like Ruth was saying, we have an amazing team going here, and And I'm grateful to be a part of that team, to be able to help, like, guide and support, like, our unsheltered to, like, to want better and to do better, you know? So, like, it's been a good experience being here at MIWRC. I've been here going on 3 months now, so I'm still a newbie. But it has been, like, it has been a good experience for me being here, and I'm grateful that Ruth, like, was able to, like, for me and to be able to work with, like, our unsheltered or even anyone coming through our doors in general, just being able to, like, make them feel welcomed here, make them feel safe, make them feel like as if they were at home, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to say is I have 40 years of recovery, and I think right 2 years is – 2 years is a lot longer than four. I think 2 years is a lot longer than 40 years, because those days can be long, and you're a great representation, and also people can look up to you because you're doing it. And that's what our community needs, is to see more warriors like you, Allison, that are doing it on the daily deal.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And so, like, in a lot of our client relatives that do come in, you know, like I was saying, like, I know a lot of them only because, like, I was in active use at one point. So, like, a lot of them that, and because our community, like, when our community comes together, they come together. And when that does happen, it's such a beautiful thing to see, you know, and a lot of them come in and they'll be like, you know, I'm going to get there one day. And I'm like, yeah, you will. You know, you definitely will. And just keep speaking that into existence or manifesting it, you know, because, like, a lot of our relatives who are struggling right now, a lot of them want it so bad. It's just that step that they have to take, you know, because it's a hard step to take. And I don't blame them, because I was at that point at one time, you know.
Exactly. And
they'll get there, you know. All we can do is keep being supportive and being a good having our doors open like we've been, you know?
Yeah. Well, congratulations again. That's a huge deal. And 2 years is a long time. It's a lot longer, again, like I said, than 40 years. It's Ruth Anna, it's great to have these guys on and talk real talk.
Yes, for sure. I'm super thankful. You know, it's an amazing team, and we'd kind of joke and say, you know, they're a bunch of Care Bears, you know. But yeah, they have superpowers. So, you know, they just, their heart, you know, heart work, you know, some days are challenging, and, you know, with things that kind of tug at the heartstrings, you know, but we support one another, and we're thankful to have a good support system, and, you know, our traditional values that have withstood the test of time are there for us as well. And, you know, we were, I was just talking to my family about the parade, and it was fun to, like, be out there and dancing and things. You know? Yeah, it was, you know, it was just good time, good medicine for sure.
Well, your name will always be on the trophy because you guys won it the first time, Ruth Anna.
Yeah. Bragging rights, I guess.
Right. So Jaleesa and I are going to try and get a float next year, a Native Roots Radio float, and we're thinking about maybe having a big boombox on her car.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, for sure. That's
with an really eagle great feather hanging from it. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Ruth Anna, I'd like to, I don't know if you want to keep these guys on, because really what I'd like to talk about now too is the services that you have and the things that are coming up this week. So this is your call if you want to ask them a few more questions, or if you want to get right into that, how people out there can support Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center and the great work that obviously Allison and Deetra and you and the whole crew do.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. You know, like, our website is on the link down there, the banner. So yeah, miwrc.org has a lot of our good information, connects you to the socials. So yeah, if Deetra and Allison would like to stay on for another segment, for sure, I support that.
Right on. That's very cool. So what would you say to somebody that Deetra that just came in and really feels down about stuff, and how do you greet them, and how do you tell them that it's going to be okay?
Definitely with empathy and compassion. Compassion, for sure. Being a good listener, paying attention to them. You know, they go through so much out in the streets, you know, just having that genuine compassion goes a long way. And it works for me. I actually sit down with them and I listen. And I don't care how horrible the story may be, you know, I'm still just like right there and letting them know that whatever I can do in my power, that I will do it, and standing on that, you know. I don't care if they come one day and I don't see them for a month. I remember, you know, what they talked about, what they were dealing with. And even if we have to jump right back in, and just try to help them to the best of my ability. But like I said in the first part, is building those strong relationships are super important, because they learn to trust you and they're depending on you. And, you know, sometimes, yes, it tears at our hearts. Like, you know, there's stories I've heard that I've had to run to the bathroom and maybe shed a tear. But letting them know that I'm there, and the rest of my colleagues as well. I will say this, we do have a very amazing team. Everybody is so compassionate, and they care about every single client relative that walks through that door. And that matters. And the community knows this. As Allison was saying, you know, they know where to come when they need that, or to feel safe and to feel cared for. So yeah, I would just say, being there, listening, being a good listener, no judgment. They go through enough of that. And trying our best to help them as much as we can, and never giving up. Because I, like I said, I may see one client relative on a Monday and I may not see them for 3 months. But when they walk back through that door, I remember them and I remember what they were going through. And we just pick right back up and we fight the fight. So,
right on, yeah. Right on. Appreciate those good words. Allison, I wanted to ask you kind of a different question with the, we got a minute left here. What do you do to take care of yourself? Because this is hard emotionally when you see people down.
Yeah, good question.
It's crazy you bring that up, because we were just actually talking about this in one of the offices yesterday. I've been like more connected on like on my cultural side. So like before I leave the house, I smudge, I put cedar in my shoes, and like even if we're having a bad day at work, you know, I'll go home and take a cedar bath. I make sure I use my medicines, because it helps a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, and I go get my nails done, get my hair did, you know.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you have to give it away to keep it, and I know. I still go to those 12-step meetings, because we have to talk strong to our relatives and be there. And I remember my first meeting 40 years ago, somebody told me that I was the most important person there. And you know what? I believed them and I kept coming back. Hey, we're here with Ruth Anna Buffalo and her crew, Allison and Dietra, and of course, Jaleesa McKee, my daughter. Nepotism's living live and well here in Native Roots Radio. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk some more.
Stay with us.
Ho!
Support for KFAI comes from the White Squirrel Bar, presenting Mumblin' Drew's Old Fangled Orchestrators 2-Year Res Party, Monday, July 14th. Mumblin' Drew's Old Fangled Orchestrators are an old-timey string band playing early jazz, Tin Pan Alley, ragtime, and country blues. They'll be celebrating the second anniversary of their monthly residency at the White Squirrel Bar in St. Paul, also featuring a musical Cranky by Pop Wagner and Ollie Johnson. More information about Mumblin' Drew's Old Fangled Orchestrators 2-Year Res Party is available at the upcoming events calendar at thewhitesquirrelbar.com.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Oh.
Oh.
Allison and Deetra, that's where you were supposed to howl. Welcome back. Hey, we're here talking Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center with our guest Ruth Ann Buffalo, Anna Buffalo, and Allison and Deetra, and of course, Jaleesa McKee's here helping me hold down the fort. Wow, hold down the fort. That's not a good thing to say. That's kind of holding down the, yes, we're doing good here. Thanks, Ruth, Anna. How's it going? This has really been a great show. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I feel so much heart from you and also the people that work at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Yeah, for sure. We're, you know, thankful to be here and to, you know, for you allowing us to share a few good words about MIWRC and get the word out into the community. And also want to encourage, you know, people, if they can, to donate, you know, miwrc.org/donate. We've been around for 40 years and we will be around for 40 more plus years and beyond, you know, still serving the relatives. And we're just, you know, it's a beautiful organization to be a part of, a lot of healing, a lot of trust building, you know, with relationships and really helping get relatives connected to resources, like treatment, you know, addiction services, housing, also behavioral health or mental health services as well, and just trying to expand on those, but of course incorporating or integrating our traditional values and teachings into those as well.
Ruth, Anna, I know you talked about the round dance and the workers coming down and round dancing during the celebration there. But tell some of our listeners that are just tuning in a little bit about what construction is going on.
Oh, yes. So the top two floors at MIWRC, floors 3 and 4, are under renovation, and they're coming along really well. We're moving from 14 2-3 bedroom units to 24 efficiencies, with 4 of them being single units. And we are on schedule, on target to have 6 units occupied by the end of August, this August. Things are moving along. We actually just kind of got a quick tour of third floor today. So things are going along great, and we're looking forward to serving the relatives, you know, the best we can. Top two floors, floors 3 and 4, will be fully renovated. New windows, large, big windows, lots of natural light, fresh paint on there right now. Door frames are being added in. Furniture is going to arrive next week. So things are moving along really good.
Allison, how does that make you feel when you see something like that added on for the community? Isn't that like a game changer?
It definitely is. And I was just talking to a couple of like our staff about like, how many more opportunities that our relatives can feel safe at, you know? So it's like, it's definitely a blessing. Like, our community needs it, just because like with like everything going on and the things just clashing back and forth at each other in the community, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, and like we were saying earlier, like a lot of our client relatives come here and they feel safe here. That's why they keep coming back. So it's definitely a beautiful blessing to have, like, to be even be here to experience and see the progress of it.
Yeah, it is. And I appreciate it and was able to see that firsthand. And it's an older building, and to have that life, Ruth Anna, put back into it. That's a really good thing. And that's how it can last for another 40 years.
Yes, for sure. Look forward to hearing, you know, singing, dancing, you know, looking forward to just more good, wholesome gatherings, you know, where there's meals, there's healing, there's kids, there's laughter, there's community, there's elders, there's teachings. So, yeah, it's a lot of beautiful things coming.
And you know what I say, And there's cakewalk too. I love the cakewalk.
Oh, yeah. we all over at MI, all of us at MIWRC, we clown about, or like we joke about this all the time. Like we all love Big Back activities over here.
Yeah.
Big Back.
I had to Google that at first. No, I'm just kidding.
That should be on your next t-shirt.
Allison's favorite word, Big Back.
it's just another term for we all love different types of food and we can throw it on when it comes to food.
Yeah, there you go.
That was funny. Oh my goodness. But I just wanted to say too, you know, my background, I am actually a counselor at a treatment center. And so I just wanted to give you all the props for connecting people to treatment centers. So thank you. I actually, yeah. And even further, I actually started a well variety group, a specifically Native centric group at my job. So anyway, so I'm just feeling connected to y'all when you share what you're doing. So thank you.
Yeah, that's huge.
I attend a Walbarty meeting every week. It's every Thursday at the White Earth Mansion, and I make it a priority to make it to a meeting just because I'm in recovery and I just don't want to, like, you know, lose like those connections I already have there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've attended other meetings all around the community, but like that Walbarty meeting, just I felt like really at home there, and I feel like it's because like more like connected with like our culture and and everything, and it's also like a home feeling when you walk in there.
And that's definitely part of what I asked you earlier, is how you take care of yourself, because you have to go to those to feel community and also give it away to the newcomer, because again, they're the most important person there.
Definitely. So my two years coming up, I'm actually like sharing my story at that Walbarty meeting, like at the end of July. I'm gonna be sharing my story there.
That's so important too. Great. Because we gotta. I know for me, I have amnesia. You know, when it comes to like borrowing money or drinking and doing drugs, so I gotta like remember all these things and keep going to these meetings. Oh. So Dietra, you see people come in, but you also see people go out in a good way and get the help. That's got to be part of what fills your soul too.
Yeah, it does. When our client relatives either go to treatment or find housing, it's a feeling I can't even describe. To watch the growth, you know, I can't even describe the feeling. I think I'm more excited than they are. I'm just jumping up at the door like, yes, you got housing. Yes, you know, you finally decided, you know, I'm tired, you know, help me. How do I get to treatment? Which treatment? And sitting down with them and going over the different options, and when they take that step and you look in their eyes and they're, you see the tears, but they're tears of joy.
Yeah,
it's very emotional. It feels like it's me that's going, or it's me that's getting my apartment. I can't even. I'm about to cry right now. It's a wonderful feeling to see. I let them know that we're here. We're rooting for them. Whatever they need, you know, they can call. They can come back. And we'll guide them. We have several success stories. And they come back.
That's awesome. Hey, I want to tell you, we got less than a minute. Ruth Anna Buffalo, thank you so much for bringing these guys on to your show every Tuesday. This has just been a really good lift for us in filling our soul bucket after what's happened this weekend, Ruth Anna. So thank you so much for bringing these guys on.
Mom, to get dads. Thank you.
All right. Hey, if you listen to the show, you're part of the resistance.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.